I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. If you got a chance to see the Broadway show Enron, you'll know that Stephen Kuntkin was well-deserved in getting his nomination for Best Featured Actor in a Play for his role as Andy Fastow. I say got a chance because the day Stephen found out he was nominated, he was also told that the show would be closing later that week. If that were me, I'd want to jump out a window, but Stephen is taking it all in stride. And why shouldn't he? The critics universally praised his work. He and his wife just adopted a baby, and since he's such a fantastic actor, I'm sure the phone is already ringing in his agent's office. I got a chance to talk to him while he was sitting in his car, about to take a well-deserved break.
So, congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you so much.
How did you find out about it?
You know, I was watching, you know, first of all, I was watching because I knew that it was important to find out the longevity of our show, Enron. You know, I knew that based on the way that how expensive the show was, that if the show didn't get nominated, it was going to probably be a rough road for us. And so I was curious to see how that would happen. I was watching first it was on Channel 2 for a couple minutes, and then they let it go, and then I watched it online on the Tony's website.
Yeah.
So I sort of saw it all happening in rapid succession. It's funny, they did like the five big categories first on TV, and then they ended it. So I thought that I had missed my category, and, you know, and I was like, oh, damn, I can't believe it. But then they went back to it. So
what's that feeling like to be like one of the top five guys nominated?
It's crazy, you know. I don't know that it's sunk in yet. I was just, you know, talking to my wife about it. I was just like, it's such an incredible honor, and it's a thing that you always dream about as an actor. I think, you know, especially as a New York theater actor who grew up on the Tonys and grew up coming to see Broadway shows and went to Juilliard in the City, which is such a, you know, institution for theater, really, and to even just be a part of it. I remember my first Broadway show, just right before I went on, you know, just saying, wow, as soon as the first word comes out of my mouth, I'm going to have done a Broadway show, and that was incredible. That was such a huge threshold to walk across, and, you know, to have this, it hasn't even really sunk in yet, to be considered a part of the community, a performance that was noteworthy in this season of incredible actors and performances. It's just, it's kind of mind-boggling, and it's thrilling. I mean, it's such a huge honor to, you know, I know there are all the things that everybody always says, wow, what an honor, it's thrilling, and you know, but it's so true. I mean, you actually really do feel like this, awed by, you know, the attention, and awed by the people actually caring. Yeah. There's nothing that I just said that is like new or exciting, but it's totally true. I mean, you just, it sort of puts all of that work into perspective for a moment. It sort of is a milestone in your career that you sort of, you look back and you say, oh my God, I actually have put together a little bit of a body of work. It's quite cool.
Yeah. Well, is it true that now you can get better seats at a restaurant?
You know, I don't know. I think we'll always. I could walk in with my Tony nominee. Like, if I won the award, I could walk in with the statue, and I still think I would lose instantly to anybody who's been on a TV show or in a film. So it's still, you know, maybe an Angus McIndoe across the street or at, you know, Bar Centrale, they might go, hey, let's, you know. I think other than that, I think you're, you know, it's the beauty of the theater. Unless you saw it, you don't really know it.
Yeah,
so,
So, a couple hours later, how did you find out about the show closing? I mean, that's got to be a sucker punch.
Oh, man, it was great. Well, you know, I saw that the show hadn't been nominated, and they were pretty frank with us. The producers were pretty frank with us earlier on when, you know, it's it, it, we, the day after we opened, then we had a day off, and then we came back and we talked about it. And you know, it's tough. New York is tough in terms of. Are you in New York or Los Angeles?
I'm LA.
You're in LA. In New York, you know, really, it's New York Times is such an important paper for a big Broadway show. Because it's sort of a table setter and a tone setter for all, sort of the way people think about a show. And Ben Brownlee from the New York Times really didn't like the show. He had very nice things to say about me, which is very nice, but he didn't like the show. And already you could feel as we came back that we were sort of battling we're going to have to battle that perception. We had amazing reviews from all over the place. It was, you know, people had very strong opinions about the play. So I knew from the producers who said, you know, the Tonys are going to be very important to us, is basically what they said when we came back from the day off. So I kind of knew that we were in a little bit of a race. And when that didn't come through, I knew that our time might be short, but I didn't think it was going to be that short. Yeah. So we found out that night. You know, they sent us all an email basically saying, please come to the theater it was like half an hour before, half an hour. Around 6 o'clock or whatever it was. And you know, they told us that there wasn't an advance being built, and that the Tonys were really important to help build that advance, and the show was very expensive, and the timing was wrong, possibly for a show all about finance, all things were going on. And, you know, there's a million reasons you could Monday morning quarterback what happened with it in a million different ways. But, you know, we sort of found out that night that was going to be our last week, which was crazy. It's heartbreaking also because you just, you hit that moment where you're like, God, now I can get to live in this thing where I'm a nominee and show people my work, and you know, it was gone just as quick. But it's a great metaphor for the theater. You know, the theater is a living organism that is of the here and the now, and it's going to disappear. And you know, that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. It's got to suck. You put in all this time and energy. You get nominated for a Tony, and people now can't see your work.
Yeah, I mean it's a drag. I mean it's definitely a drag. Yeah, I mean there's no slicing. I mean it does, but at the same time, I know a lot of people, especially because we had you have a week in New York, and all my out of town friends will have missed it. You know, people I know who had bought tickets for later in the summer won't get to see it. But in terms of like my community of people who I a lot of those people were great and rushed to go see it or had seen it in the preview period. I know that the producers did a valiant attempt to try to get as many of the Tony voters in before the show closed. So we got a good bit of those people in. But yeah, I mean, part of the joy of doing a play and getting good notices and having some kind of acknowledgement that you then get to live that, because it happens so infrequently in this business that, you know, you get to live in it. So that was a drag.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to, I guess, the beginning. How did you get your start?
Sure.
When did you realize that you wanted to be an actor?
I did it in high school. I was in all the school shows. I had great high school drama professor who really made us cut our teeth in high school, not on Bye Bye Birdie and, you know, stuff like that, but, you know, Bertolt Brecht and, you know, sort of chancy stuff. And not chancy, but, you know, it really pushed our imaginations and our capacity to, you know, where we were at that point. And so I sort of knew when I was in high school that I really loved it. And when I went to college, as a political science major, actually. And I took a couple classes in political science, and I, you know, there's so... You, it's, I realized in political science that it's really a science of figuring out people and how to manipulate people and how to manipulate perception and understanding. And it was all these things that I was doing and loving, you know, to sort of understand in the arts, but it seemed for nefarious purposes. And so I decided that I'd rather do it for entertainment than to help people see the world in a different way than try to, you know, build a out of college, I did some improv comedy I was in an improv comedy troupe in school, and then that sort of got me pulled into the theater department at school, and then I became a theater major, and came out of school and looked into graduate programs.
And then you went to Juilliard, right?
And then I went to Juilliard in the city, which was very lucky.
Yeah, I talked to Carrie Preston, who also went there, and she said, she said it was like an acting boot camp. It was like her Vietnam, she said.
Totally. I love me some Carrie Preston. She's a buddy of mine.
Yeah, she's
awesome. And, yeah, no, it is. The thing about Juilliard, which is so great, is that, and it's also the hardest part about Juilliard, is they really look at you when you come in and they say, you do these amazing things naturally. And you don't, let's be honest, you don't need us to continually tell you over the course of these 4 years what that is that you do great, because you do it great anyway. So let's give you as many skills and tricks and craft as we can do over 4 years of things that you're not good at. So you can spend 4 years thinking you're not good at all, which I think is the danger if you go there too young or too green, is that you can start to lose your confidence. But if you can maintain your sense of the world and you can come out of that program with an incredible set of skills and with having worked with some really great people.
Yeah. Now, you pretty much work nonstop. Do you credit your education with that?
In large part. I mean, I think that a huge part of why people want to work with you or hire you, it's 50% what you're doing in the auditions and how prepared you are and what kind of a take you have on a role. But the other 50% is, are you somebody who is reliable and do people want to work with? And I think that starts to snowball I've tried myself on being somebody who's prepared and who isn't causing problems when they're in rehearsal and is just really there to make the play better, to make the project better, and not get caught up in a lot of the stuff that, we're working in a very emotional craft, and not get caught up in that. And I think that that's an important part of, why you continually work or don't work. Your reputation precedes you into a room, and hopefully it's working for you as opposed to against you.
You played two real people, Jim Reston and Frost Nixon, and Andy Fastow and Enron. They're completely different shows, but was the research on the people the same for you?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's interesting. When you start working on when you're playing a non-fictional character, you're playing somebody who, you can pull lots of source material for. It's exciting because you see a big part of your job is done, or you have a path to it, because you can see pictures of the person, you can hear that person, and you can do a lot of the external work that you need to that gets you close to that person. But then there's a point at which that stops being helpful, and you have to do the same work that you would do as an actor on any fictional character, which is go to the script and figure out exactly what the author, what the playwright is asking you to do. Because even if I did the greatest Jim Reston ever, but it was running counterintuitive to Peter Morgan's script, then we're in conflict with each other. So it's more important that I know what, David Frost is saying about Jim Reston in the play, and then somehow interpret that, either to embody that or do the opposite of it, because that's that character's perception. To take all of the given circumstances that I know from the world of the play and try to marry them with some of the things that I know. So it is a kind of hybrid thing when you work on a non-fictional character, but it's not as far afield from working on just working on Chekhov or, something,
yeah,
where you're completely creating the character from scratch, as you might think. And you really kind of have to do all of that same beat-to-beat, moment-to-moment work, or else, we would just be doing documentaries, essentially.
So when you get a new script, and I know you've done a lot of new plays, what's your translation like? Like, what are the very first things that you look for and you do?
That's a great question. I think I probably start off reading the script a number of times. first, there's nothing like, so there was a, I had a professor once who said, you know, your first impression is so important, and that when you read a play for the first time, don't read it piecemeal, don't read it on the subway, and then another 10 pages here, 15 pages. You know, your first impression of it should be, in some ways, the same as if you were to sit in a theater, in a darkened theater, and watch 2 hours play, or, you know, an hour and a half, or 2 and a half, whatever. And so that impression is really important. So the first time through, I'm just responding emotionally or intellectually to what the experience. And then I sort of go back and I read it a few more times. It's actually really, really interesting to read a play before you know who you're playing in it. Sometimes, you know, if you get the breakdowns and there's equal parts that you might be right for, it's really interesting to read a play not already tracking it for your character. You sometimes learn a lot in that respect. But then you start, and then you, once you've read it the first time or you know who you're playing, I really start pulling out all of the things that I know, trying to develop the skeleton of the character from all of the breadcrumbs that the playwright has left you. You know, how old this person is, from the very simple things like how old the person is, where the person grew up, to all the emotional things about that person. What are their triggers? What are the things that set that person off? To all of the, you know, things that we work on in acting school, like what does this person want? What does this person want from the moment? What does this person want out of life? And then you start to go back and filter in all of that together. And, you know, and I find that there comes a point where, you know, you're never even really learning the lines, learning the lines, because you're figuring out exactly what it, you've done so much work by figuring out why the line is there that it sort of figures itself out.
So I know that you just adopted a baby. Are you going to take some time off and hang out with the family, or are you calling your agent and say, let's get back to work?
You know, it's interesting, because it's funny you say that, because my wife and I have a little house up in Connecticut, and I'm literally sitting right now up in a car in the driveway. We just got here, battling traffic. I wanted to get here by 2 o'clock, but it was, it's really nice. I mean, I was doing this play, Our Town, David Cromer's Our Town. I was playing the stage manager in that, right before we started, rehearsals for this. I left Our Town on a Thursday night, did my last performance. On Friday, we flew off to Ethiopia, to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to get our daughter. Came back, we spent 2 weeks in Ethiopia, flew back, and landed on like a Saturday night and started rehearsals on a Monday. Mm. So, yeah, it's been brutal. And she is absolutely, like, the greatest kid in the world. Yeah. She is the easiest, sweetest, most, you know, grounded kid who's kept all of this in perspective, all the things about, like, the show closing, and just none of it. It's like, you know, you got this little face to come home to who doesn't care about any of that. It's amazing. So, you know, part of closing is going to be lovely. I'll get to spend, you know, a chunk of time with her, and certainly I love working. I love what I do. And, you know, if the opportunities come up, and I'm sure, you know, I will be on the horn with the agents saying, what's next? And, you know, it'll come up. But it's not like I suddenly feel the time clock going, oh, my God, you know, T-minus, you know, 2 weeks till I need a job before I go crazy. I'm very content to have a little bit of vacation time.
So two more questions.
Sure.
What's the best piece of advice someone gave you regarding acting? And what is your advice to actors?
To the craft or the business?
Either one.
Let's see. For the business, and I think this is, you know, you've just experienced, I'll answer that first. For the business, I think, and my current situation is a perfect example, is that it's a long, long game. I think you tend to, especially, you know, I remember coming out of Juilliard thinking that it was a series of sprints that, you know, you would look to your left and your right, you'd see people in your class, and you'd see people with the agent that you'd want, or you'd get that job that you thought you should have, or you wanted, or you weren't booking, and you tended to judge them by where you tended to make an assessment of how you were doing by the people around you, and you judge that on very short sprints. But the business is a marathon. Business is, your career is a marathon. And you have to figure out how to pace yourself, and you have to figure out how to have a sense of inner worth and of inner measure, rather than constantly looking at around you. So, you know, I look at the people in my class, and certain people sprinted ahead and then fell back and haven't worked in a while, and we're all going to the same thing. There's enough work for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we're not in competition with each other, and really, I mean, I know that's sort of self-helpy speak, but it's kind of true in this profession. There's going to be a job that's going to open up for you because you didn't get that other job, or that person took, you know, there's enough work if you stay in it. And there's a huge attrition rate in this business because people can't figure out how to go the whole way. And, you know, it's such a hard business, and people fall off. And if you can really figure out how to support yourself and feel good about yourself, your time will come. Your chance to get those things will come. And somebody told me that, and in the beginning, when I came out of school, I totally didn't believe it. I was miserable for a lot of time, as I was like, God, you know. If I hear another person tell me that I'm going to really start working in my mid-30s, I'm going to just kill myself, you know. I was 20-something, and I was like, I want to do that. And they're like, yeah, you know what? You're going to have a great career in your mid-30s, 40s, 50s. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear that you're going to be on. But you know what? I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, That's great advice. It's a hard advice to take when you're in the middle of it, but, you know, if you told me in my 20s that I would be sitting with a Tony nomination for a new play, I'd just be, you know, I wouldn't have believed it. Yeah. That's great. In terms of craft, I don't know, I'd have to think about that. Tell the truth. I mean, that's always fun. Yeah. You know, like, I've had teachers just sort of say, that's not a good one. I'll think of something good at some point. I'll give you a call, like, 2 o'clock in the morning when I actually come up with my, that's what it was.
That's what I wanted to say.
All right.
Thanks, Stephen, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to join the Facebook page. There's giveaways on there and much more. That's facebook.com/dailyactor. And keep coming back to dailyactor.com for more interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.